Thought Leadership Studio.
You're listening to Thought Leadership Studio, the podcast that helps you master high-level positive mass influence to create distinctive business niches, captivate an audience, grow your following, and change the game by changing the frame with strategic thought leadership.
Thought Leadership Studio.
Welcome back to Thought Leadership Studio. I'm your host, Chris McNeil, and this is episode 80, Self-Mastery and Business Success with Jason Yerusi, harnessing the power of routines, mental clarity, and focus to elevate personal and professional growth. What this episode will do for you is help you explore Jason's journey to self-mastery, his transformation from transactional task to a focus on the bigger picture in real estate investment and personal development. The role of self-mastery in business success by understanding how mastering oneself can lead to greater business achievements and a more balanced life. Aid you in creating effective routines by learning about the significance of daily routines in self-improvement activities such as workouts and maintaining mental clarity and conserving energy for crucial decisions. Develop strategies for overcoming setbacks by gaining insights from Jason on the importance of learning from failures and how they can be leveraged for growth. And help you in controlling your focus in business by discovering Jason's advice on narrowing your focus while strategically expanding into related business areas. But before we dive more deeply into this episode, in case you're new here, consider that I created the Thought Leadership Studio podcast to help listeners improve their thought leadership skills. So whether or not you consider yourself a thought leader at this point, consider that I've come to the conclusion that the practice of strategic thought leadership is now fundamental to effective marketing and helpful in any area of positive influence. It's about leading an audience to embrace a unique perspective that gives them more value. So this podcast is designed to provide an accelerated training process. And an important part of this is having models of excellence, for which I provide interviews of people who excel in one or more areas relevant to strategic thought leadership. And if you're listening on an app, make sure you visit the episode page on thoughtleadershipstudio.com. It's linked in the episode description for a summary of the episode with a curated transcript, a story and images, and additional resources and offers. In this episode of Thought Leadership Studio, I'm excited to introduce Jason Yerusi, a multifaceted expert in multifamily real estate investment and self-mastery coaching. So how does self-mastery relate to strategic thought leadership? Strategic thought leadership is about harnessing the power of influence to inspire and lead. In the context of personal and business success, this depends on mastering oneself by aligning mind, body, and actions to achieve the congruence, clarity, and impact necessary to build an audience and lead it to a fresh perspective. Jason is a seasoned real estate investor and dynamic coach, and he believes that self-mastery is the cornerstone of success in any field. His journey from tackling transactional tasks to focusing on the bigger picture has shaped his philosophy. By mastering yourself, you can master your business and your life. In our conversation, he shares his insights on the crucial role of routines, the power of workouts, and the importance of conserving mental energy. He emphasizes being present in the moment, learning from failures as key components of becoming the best version of oneself. We also delve into how his coaching philosophy encourages entrepreneurs and thought leaders to narrow their focus while expanding into related businesses. And he concludes the interview with three actionable recommendations for those looking to elevate their personal and professional lives. So without further ado, let's jump right into the interview.
Thought Leadership Studio.
So I'm your host of Thought Leadership Studio, Chris McNeil, and I'm sitting across Zoom with Jason Yerusi, who is the dynamic creator of Live 100. Jason's mission is to help you implement his 100-mile roadmap into your life and business with practical, actionable advice you can use right now. If you're tired of not feeling fit, lacking focus, or not having the financial resources to achieve your goals, Jason's insights from the Live 100 podcast will be invaluable. He specializes in helping break habits that no longer serve you, empowering you to build momentum and reach the levels of success you deserve. And Jason's not just a thought leader and coach, but also a private fund manager overseeing more than $300 million in commercial real estate. He's an avid ultra marathon runner, that's impressive, founder of multiple successful businesses, and a dedicated father and husband. Welcome, Jason.
It's great to be here.
Great to have you here. So to give our listener who may not already be familiar with your work a little bit of context and where we can go with this interview, I see two threads here, two major threads in your background, the multifamily real estate investment and the self-actualization, self-mastery type coaching that you do. Which came first and how did one lead to the other, or how did it work out for you to be on the path you're on now?
You know, I think a lot of it ties into me making corrections in my mind, in my life first, right? Which led me into choosing to do different things with my life, right? So different careers, different, you know, outlooks, and that led me into buying large apartment buildings. From there, that transitioned me to helping others really through the path for them to help within self-improvement. I grew up in New Jersey, and, you know, during my formative years, you know, I faced a lot of loss. I was at 13. I had a friend who was killed in a boating accident. And then, you know, when I was 14, I had a friend, get in a car with a bunch of people that were, you know, doing drugs and alcohol and got in an accident and got killed. And when I was 15, I had a friend who was down the street from me, just really good friend, known forever, just really happy kid, blew his head off with a shotgun, and then got to 17. And, you know, I had a girlfriend that I was really closed in. I was shy. You know, I was introverted. And I had a girlfriend I could talk to, I could really like open up to. And, unfortunately, she got in a car with a bunch of friends. They were going on the beach, just had gotten a driver's license, and she was killed, the only one killed in a car accident, right? And so I left high school just really lost. I was just like in this part where my parents had a small business that struggled a lot. So they were facing their own, you know, internal challenges and demons. And my dad was really closed off as well. So I went to college, honestly, on a whim. You know, someone came and saw me play football. He said, you should come to this school. And like, I didn't even know what, I agreed to go to college without even knowing what state the school was in. Like, it was like those kind of choices I was making, was that I was just choosing basically ad hoc at everything there because I just didn't feel motivated and feel confident. And I just felt like everything could just easily get pulled away from me. Well, ended up getting a finance degree in school because at the time, again, I had a friend's mom say, you should do business because you're good with numbers. And so I got a finance degree. Well, I leave school and I'm just not happy with any of my choices. And I didn't want to go into finance. I didn't want to go, you know, do anything within terms of that realm. So I moved to New York City and I started working as a bartender, right? So I was just doing things that just weren't really in any linear path. I was just taking jobs because I just wasn't confident in myself. I just wasn't really, you know, feeling prepared. I just wasn't happy with really the circumstances. And I did that for a couple of years. And, you know, one night I'm just mad at the universe and mad at the world and just mad at everybody, right? You know, if you were there, I'd be mad at you, right? Just for anything that was happening in my life, I was blaming outwards. And got on my bike, you know, 2:33 in the morning, riding home from this bar, riding across Manhattan. And I turned right down 2nd Avenue and out of nowhere, a flashlight came out. And next thing I know, I'm flying in the air because a car had hit me on my bike. And I come to, you know, I get up and get pulled out of the street and, you know, ambulance comes and I get taken to the hospital. And it turns out, you know, I get some stitches in my chin, my head, I get some broken bones, a pin in my wrist. And, you know, I'm just sitting there and I get released from the hospital. And all I have in my mind was like, wow, I need to get back to work because I need to make money to make rent. And there was this moment of like pause where I was like, okay, so you have been so angry about your position in life, all the things you're doing, you hate your job, you hate where you're at, and now you get run over by a car, you're all beat up, and all you can think about is getting back to the life that you don't want to be in. So hold on here. Uh-huh. Either you have to stop being upset with your direction in life, because if you're going to continue to make chaotic choices, you're going to continue to get chaotic results. You need to be okay with that. Just move on, or something has to change. And it wasn't overnight, but little by little, I started to make some little changes, you know, some little course corrections in my day, right? So get up earlier, right? Start to have some actionable things I would do through the day. Start to get on a workout plan. Start, you know, not staying up so late, not drinking at the end of the in a shift. And lo and behold, I started to create some momentum in a positive fashion, for instance, and it starts to build confidence. And from there, you know, I left the bar world to actually open my own restaurant and bar in New York City. I opened a brewery that I sold in New York City. And then, you know, I moved out to New Jersey because just like you said, you're having a storm here. Hurricane Sandy happened, you know, on the East Coast, you know, over a decade ago, and that decimated the East Coast. Well, lo and behold, my dad's struggling business did a ton of work for lifting homes. That's what he had done for years. And his business went from a couple projects a year to just thousands of calls a day. It was insanity. And so my little brother, my now wife, my girlfriend at the time, myself, we went out and helped dad take his family business, you know, take this small business from, you know, 10, 12 jobs a year to over 250 jobs a year. And it was fun. It was good. You know, a lot of tension when you're working, you know, a bunch of Italians all in one family, right? A lot of conflict, but it helped me continue to just learn how to build momentum, learn how to face adversity, learn how to do things that you can grow businesses. But I kept asking the question of like, what could I do to continue to one, gain traction, but get back control of my life? Because remember, you know, I was working in bars where the pace dictates you, right? If customers come in or out, their experience, right? And, you know, it was all transactional. To go and get construction, continue to be very transactional. And what we did is we started to move into real estate projects. We started to actually, you know, buy homes and flip homes. And that was fine for the time. But again, another transactional thing. And lo and behold, one day my wife, still my girlfriend at the time, met someone who was in buying basically apartments out of the state. They were buying them in other states and putting together a process and putting together teams. And that was that light bulb moment where I was like, I understand this. I understand here where it takes me out of the part of doing all the transactional things, you know, running to Home Depot or meeting with the customer, or, you know, going to, you know, lease a unit or just being the middleman, but also the thing that was really stopping the momentum. Well, I was able to pull myself out of it, learn the process. And in 2017, we brought an apartment community in Louisville, Kentucky. And that was the first of over 30 of these transactions now to date that we've brought a little over 3,000 units across 7 states.
I love that. And one piece of it I'm getting is that tragedy, that accident, having lost all the friends, that's kind of life saying something needs to change. Or showing you something needs to change. And the other thing I'm picking up, a really powerful thread, is it looks to me from here like you associate self-mastery with business success, being fit to mind, body, emotions. I've seen some of that in your Live 100 on your video channel as well on YouTube, which is excellent, by the way, very motivating. How do you see the relationship of personal self-mastery in business success?
You have to tie both together in a way here, because ultimately at some part there's going to be, you know, your relationships, there's going to be your health, there's going to be your finances, and there's going to be, you know, where you spend a lot of your time, which for most of us is our business, right? So we have to be mentally prepared to show up, to be disciplined to the actions, to really get the results. Because what happens in business a lot is that you can do everything perfect and still have 5 wild cards that come out of left field that can just blow up your day. And if you're not mentally stable or confident, you're on a roller coaster ride constantly, just not understanding that that's just part of the process. And I've put a lot of focus on controlling my morning, right? Controlling my day to just have almost a certainty of execution, right? So I'll get up, right? Have a glass of water. I'll meditate. I'll work out. I'll spend time with my family. I'll get the kids, take them to school, right? Take them to their school. And so I've had those wins, right? I've had those parts where I know that I've already, I can check that off for today. So the second that I walk into the office, you know, if things go great, perfect. But usually there's some wild card out there that just blows up in the day that you have to deal with. But if I started my day in a chaotic way, right? And I started there, I woke up late, you know, I was rushing to work, you know, maybe I get stuck in traffic. I eat something poorly. I don't take time for myself. You know, maybe I'm short my kids because they're running late for school. And then I walk into all these fires at work. I'm constantly at like RPM 7,000. And I'm never having some moment of relaxation where I can come in there confident to be able to deal with the things that come up in the moment instead of reacting. And most of us, you know, we react. All we do is react all day because we're never controlling any part of ourselves. So as everything comes up, we're just reacting, right? That's why we're getting mad at people when they cut us off, you know, and that's why you get mad at the waiter when they bring the wrong order. That's why, you know, you're mad in a phone call. You're just mad at your wife or your kids. It's not them. It's just how we're showing up within ourselves to each every event.
I love that. So starting the morning with a routine that builds confidence in your ability to control your life, helps you be ready for these wild spins we all get thrown at us in business. I mean, how can you predict everything that's going to come up? But there are things you can predict. There are things you can take control of. And you can tune yourself to be a high performance machine, so to speak. Is that jive with what your philosophy is? Is that making sense?
You know, what I try to do is eliminate unneeded decisions, right? Because what we're doing is like, you think it's something like 65,080 thoughts a day, right? For which 80% of them are repeated day in and day out. And if everything is a decision, right? Then we can't spend our time making important decisions. So think about this. Like if you wake up in the morning and everything is like, well, what time should I get up tomorrow? Or should I get up now? Or, you know, oh, should I go out to eat? Or should I make some, you know, breakfast at home? Or what should I wear today? Right? These are all things that we have to spend our brain power on. Right. And so by the time we actually get to the things that need important decisions, right, need us to be fully focused, we're already tired. We're already expended because we've made so many decisions. And usually what that means is either we'll make a very rash, you know, or rush decision, or we'll put it off. Right. So, you know, we'll put off that important thing because it takes too much brain power. So if we spend all these days and like, you know, something important today would be like, oh, I have to call this customer. Right. I'm trying to make a sale. I have to call this customer, but you've had a really rough morning. You didn't get up in time. You know, you didn't get work out. You just were, you know, were stuck in traffic. You know, you ate something poor. You're up drinking the night before. And now you're here like, oh, you know, I really don't feel like I'll just do this tomorrow. Right. And if you do that enough and enough and enough, you never actually execute on what's important in your life.
Right.
So the more you can control things and just take that energy back. Right. Because, you know, today I wake up, I'm going to wear jeans and a t-shirt to work. Right. Boom. Okay. I'm going to work out. Boom. I'm going to have a glass of water. Boom. I'm going to make coffee. Boom. You know, I'm going to take my kids to school. Done. Right. And I'm at the office. Done. Right. I don't have to make all they're already made. And is every day perfect? No. But if you can have it in your mind where, you know, you're getting 9 out of 10, right? Or you're getting 8 out of 10 of those points, you now have all that energy back and you can use that energy proactively on other things that can help grow you to a better life, to a better outcome.
That's excellent. It seems like there's getting a handle too on conserving bandwidth. That part of it is so you're not bleeding off mental energy from, you say, like doing things that expend energy, staying out late, getting off your routine, missing your workout. How essential are workouts to state of mind for you?
For me, very, right? Because it just helps me get, we'll say, my baseline, right? Like to get my baseline of where it is, right? I get there and it's part of my day. And so it's something that's a normal in my day. So without it now, my mind's been trained that something's off if I don't have it done, right? And so it gets to the part where it's on the back of my mind is that you haven't completed part of your important steps of your day because you haven't done it. So I use it as a very big advantage to get set, get my composure down and spend that energy so I can now be focused on other things going forward.
Yeah, that's awesome. And to the listener, I think all this is extremely relevant to things we do in thought leadership, in strategic thought leadership, because you can have external thought leadership and having the right media and having the right message out there and having the promotion. But if you're not also working on inner strategic thought leadership, on the self-mastery aspects, on tuning yourself as a high-performance machine, then you're just leaving a lot on the table. I think those have to be concurrent paths. So it's great to meet someone like you, Jason, who sees the relationship between self-mastery and how we express it in our habits, whether those are habits that renew us or habits that drain us, and taking control of your mental bandwidth so you have that bandwidth when things come up and you're ready to handle those. And it's quite...
Well, action gives you confidence, right? And many times it's that we're waiting to be confident. We're waiting for the confidence to show up. But confidence doesn't just show up, right? It comes from us doing things. And they're not always perfect, but we do something and maybe it doesn't go well. So the next time we do a little bit better, but we just keep showing up, right? And that builds confidence, right? And that allows us to be more present in the moment and to continue to carry forward for other things. Many times we do it in reverse where we're like, you know, I just don't feel confident. Well, you haven't tried, right? You have to try and then get a little bit further from where you are, closer to where you want to be. And that's where you build the confidence.
Absolutely. Go achieve something, you know, take a step in their direction. It's measurable. Get some feedback that what you're doing is working. So you do coaching and speaking. Is that correct?
I do.
And you speak from this platform of the Live 100. Can you give our listener a synopsis of what you mean by Live 100?
I was able to break my pattern, right? So I gave you, you know, a brief part of my story earlier on, right? And as part of that story, you know, I went from, you know, very shy, introverted, just had no confidence, really, just didn't want to step outside or, you know, or put myself out there, to just saying, I have to make change, right? And for that, I slowly started to break habits, right, that didn't serve me anymore, right? And it doesn't always have to be bad habits. So when people think habits, they think, oh, it must have been horrible. Well, yes, some things were bad habits, but you also have good habits that get you to a certain part of your life. And sometimes you have to change those habits to just tweak those habits to be better habits for you to grow to the next level, right? So it's for me breaking the habits, right? So to putting them into better habits in my life so I can start to build momentum to be able to magnify my future. And that's really the Live 100 message. And it's across 9 pillars. And really one of the pinnacle pillars is just being self-aware of how you're showing up. Mm-hmm. So many times we're walking around here, but we're not truly, truly looking at ourselves, right? We're always looking outwards, but it's hard for us to really, you know, turn the finger back and understand how we're showing up, right? Are we constantly showing up nervous? Are we constantly coming here in fear? Are we, you know, walking at the door just always angry, right? Like, how are we showing up in the moment? How are we reacting in our relationships? How are we, you know, reacting, you know, in times of need? How are we coming into our job, right? How are we showing up? And the more we can be self-aware of how we're presenting ourselves, then we can own it, right? Because we say, okay, listen, I'm really scared right now. I'm really scared about, you know, like all these things around here. Like, okay, I understand that and I own that. But now how can I position myself to improve? How can I position myself for greatness? Because once I start understanding how I'm showing up, I can start looking at, okay, how can I position myself for a better future? And when I see that, I can start to learn the habits that I need and start working to master those habits, because then my growth accelerates, right? When I start to say, okay, this is where I am. This is my starting line, which is fine. If it's, you know, I have $10 in the bank account, you know, I just got fired from my job, you know, and I'm on the verge of leaving my house. Like, it's not always the perfect point for anyone, but that's your starting point. We have to acknowledge that so we can own it and we can say, okay, this is what's gotten me there. Now, for the person I want to be that's, you know, out there in the universe, how does that person show up in each day? And how can I start positioning myself to become that person? So as I start taking new steps, right, they might not always be the perfect step, but at least they're going to be in a general correct direction I can start to learn from.
Yes.
So many times in life, you know, we it's like we put our hand on the stove and we get burnt. And then the next day we just do it again, right? And like, that's how we treat our life instead of just saying, okay, that was definitely not the right move. How can I learn from that, right? How can I learn from that and improve myself so I can start growing to become the person I deserve to be?
Yeah, I love that. And the self-assessment, the self-awareness piece, that's so critical.
Yeah.
And it's just so easy for all of us to kind of get lost in our model of the world and go through on autopilot. But you're suggesting, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you kind of step aside and take a self-assessment inventory, so to speak. What would be on that inventory? If you had to give somebody a short list, if they're listening right now thinking, well, how can I do that self-assessment? What kinds of things should I look for?
You know, there's a couple ways to do this. And one is that, you know, we're always looking at how others are reacting. We're watching others out there, watching over there. It's a part of almost having your own out-of-body experience in your mind and just saying, okay, how am I acting right now? If I was watching myself, is this presentable? Is this acceptable, right? Is this something that I would want to be around that person, right? And because you're the one who's with you 24 hours a day. And, you know, there's countless hours in the day when people aren't watching you. So, you know, are you watching yourself going to grab that snack when you're supposed to be on a diet? Are you watching yourself, you know, bleed yourself away in social media or do things that are just not self-serving to yourself? Are you watching yourself not commit to what you said you're going to do? And then take that and spend your time noting, almost as if you're, you know, you're noting and watching like a bird watcher, but you're watching yourself, right? From outside yourself. Mark down these moments that are happening here. Not punish yourself. I mean, this is not a part, you know, this is us owning it, right? By noting down what's happening within your day, what's happening in yourself. Because the key here is not that, like, you don't want to be here, that's fine. But we're not going to punish yourself. That's going to go the wrong direction. But we're going to take acknowledgement of what's happening here. And then once we have that list here, you can basically cut the paper in half on the other side of it and said, okay, now the successful me, the me who shows up, the me who commits, the me who says what I'm going to do, what would this person have done in that moment? And you write down that opposite effect. And now that's the tie in between. And then in the middle becomes your habits, your rituals. What are these things that you should be doing each and every day that you're not? You're doing the inverse. You're doing something slowly or off key. And as you do that, you start to become more aware and more apparent of how you're doing it. Because usually we do so many things, you know, subconsciously, right? It's like 98% of our day is subconsciously. 2% are we actually conscious, right? So when you're doing this, you may not even realize that you're sitting here, right? And you're going, even if you're reading a medical paper, you're snacking on Cheetos. You don't even know it, right? Because that's just what you've always done, right? So you don't even realize it because you're just not spending that time. That's just your thing. You take that in and they say, okay, huh. I've been trying to get on a weight loss journey. I didn't even realize I was snacking all the time when I'm doing this. I didn't realize this, you know? And so when you do this, it starts to allow you to be more present within yourself and your decisions, more conscious, and it allows you to have a more positive reaction to how you can start setting the stage for the new you.
That's brilliant structurally. And part of it I'm getting is that you step out of yourself, take that third person or narrator or observer perspective, and you assess your identity with enough detachment so you're not getting too caught up in the emotions, but then you're designing a new you, a new identity from that same perspective. It's like a multi-perspective identity redesign process is how I would interpret that. That's very cool.
Yeah, it's, you know, and it's the you that's always there. Like, it's the you that's within you, but many times we're missing how to get to that you. Mm-hmm. Right? That person exists, right? They're, you know, like, you know, success in many fashions, it's available to everybody, right? And new outcomes are available to everyone. But many times we're just not being present in the decision-making. And we can be more present in our decision-making.
Yes.
Opportunity for us to get to that person that we know is there starts to become real.
And that seems to be another guiding principle, I would say, behind your efforts is that being present, being conscious in the moment, noticing how you're showing up, but not beating yourself up over it. Obviously, you got to kind of see where you're at to know where you're going to go.
Yeah, we use the negative very, very well, right? We're always putting ourselves down. I'm stupid. I don't know enough. You know, I'm fat. You know, I'm worthless and all those parts. And, you know, you can say, okay, that's not me. Those are maybe decisions I'm making in the moment to act like that, right? If you want to really shed light to it, but fine. That's a moment in time that I've made a bad decision. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't define me. What defines me is how I continue to show up each and every day, right? And it's the series of events, the series of choices that I make that begin to define me. But the moment in time, right? Like, that's where many, you know, jump away from failure. Like, one of the pillars is becoming uncomfortably brave. Because what happens upon this evolution is that you position yourself, or, you know, you are self-aware, right? You own where you are, position yourself for greatness, you master your meaningful habits, and then you have to be uncomfortably brave to the steps ahead. Because what happens is that we're scared because as we try new things, we're worried about the worst outcome possible.
Sure.
We never give heed to the potential of a good thing, right? But we're very quick to say, well, the 2% of the 1% of the less than 0.5% of the negative could happen. But we are very long-winded to say, oh, well, if the worst of the worst could happen, well, also the best of the best could happen.
Right.
So we have to be brave to just understand that failure is just a recipe for growth. Like we fail 100 times a day that we don't associate to failure, right? Like it could be that, you know, you tried to, you know, lift something and you couldn't, right? Or, you know, you thought about something and it wasn't a good idea, right? But you don't think of that as failure. That's just a failure in the moment. We attribute these failures as something of massive failures. But so we stop doing it because of the potential of that, right? So you have to be brave to understand that failures are going to come, but that's how you're going to grow. That's how you're going to get to the next stage.
Yeah, it's learning. It's just learning, absolutely. And getting out of the comfort zone. And I like the way you put that too, because it acknowledges how strong the drive is and we humans towards the familiar.
Yeah.
And you're talking about getting out of the familiar, you know, going, sailing the oceans and navigating new territories of what yourself could be with a good thorough redesign. And to those listening to this, I'm asking Jason a question here. Jason, this, what could someone look forward to by implementing the kinds of things that you're talking about? What kind of changes could they have?
We work backwards on goals, right? We work backwards on the outcome, right? Just understand, like, within your body, your mind, your heart, your spirit, like where are we lacking? Because, you know, within Live 100, you know, this isn't a go and like you're constantly operating at like I said earlier, like RPM 7,000. Like, it's not that we're going like max speed all the time. It's that we're living a fulfilled life. Mm-hmm. And so the part here is that many times maybe we're fulfilled, you know, our family, but our business is suffering, right? And that's bringing us down, right? And so, or our fitness is suffering, right? Okay, well, how can we find that fulfillment in all aspects of our life? How can we use this to create a life that's well-rounded or well-used, right? It's hard for us to balance because, you know, many times, like, you know, if your kids are sick, right? I'm going to go all to the kids for the moment, right? It's, and I'm not going to be balanced in my work, right? But it's for us to find a well-roundedness within our life and within our fulfillment of what we're doing.
Yeah, I love that word fulfillment. That speaks a lot to it. So you've had a lot of financial success in commercial real estate, correct? What kind of tips would you give our listeners to being more of a financial master in that sense?
So you can actually get back to it again, like self-aware, right? Self-aware to look at yourself. And we can speak in this, the list light. So let's be self-aware about, you know, where our current financial status is. Where are we lacking? Right. Are we in a part where we're very driven? We just have, you know, one line of income. So that's going to be where, you know, our money comes in. Say we have a set job. Well, what do our expenses look like? If we don't have money at the end of the week, well, why? Do we have too much spent up in the subscriptions? Have we, you know, over leveraged ourselves on a house, right? Do we have too many just random things that are drawing us down? Do we have three cars when they're just one of myself, right? So just take a very big account for our financial house. And then the next choice is that, say we're doing a good job in that world, and now we're ready to look to invest. The people will talk many times about various lines of income, right? However, if you do that, then you become the master of none. You just have money thrown in a bunch of different spots. So the core here is to just understand what model you want to go into to grow. Right. So you look at like Warren Buffett, he goes and buys business or invests in very great businesses with great operators. Right. And that's what he does. Right. Well, for yourself, you know, if you're 1 week going to go buy, you know, an Airbnb, then the next week you're going to go invest in, you know, storage units. And the next week you're going to buy car washes. You're all over the place. You don't have a model. You don't have a system. You don't understand the operations. You don't understand the market. So we get very honed in on what's the model. So I buy apartment buildings. Where do you buy them? I'm in seven states, but I'm traditionally, you know, very largely associated with cities, only a city in each state. So here in Tennessee, I just invest in the south of Nashville down to Murfreesboro, very, very small corridor. But what that does, it allows me to be very, very niche in just my operations, understanding how the market flows, understanding the demographics, understanding the employment set, understanding who's the right, everything from property managers to the brokers to insurance carriers, like who are all the partners. So it allows me to be crystal clear with my process. And again, when I get crystal clear, right, with what I'm doing, it starts to build confidence, which allows me to have more success because I'm now allowed to perform more because I understand the circumstances. But when you're investing in, say, real estate and you're investing everywhere, you're really investing nowhere. because you don't know what areas have, you know, are the path of progress, what areas might be the good school areas, what areas are, you know, fill in the blank. So if you are looking to expand yourself into a different investment platform, get very focused, put the blinders on, because usually one of two things will happen. First off, you start to do it and you're absolutely miserable. You hate it or you're not good at it. Well, great, stop. And now you've eliminated something not to do anymore. Then, or it's something that's on the right path that you can grow and learn from, and then you can start building the momentum there.
Absolutely. But in either case, one other principle I'm getting is narrow your focus so you're dealing with business models that you understand. That's part of the clarity that's behind the confidence, or together with the confidence, that can bring about this fulfillment.
Yeah, because you build other arms from there. So we started, you know, investing in apartment buildings, right? Uh-huh. And from there, you know, we have managers who manage the properties. Well, then we opened up our own management company, which was another business, right? And that started to serve some of our properties, right? And on sure. these properties, and many times, you know, we have a couple thousand units where, you know, we have certain needs, HVAC, plumbing, electric, right? So some of our highest needs. So that was, and we're in a very high growth area. So from there, we opened up an HVAC and a plumbing business. Now serves some of our properties and also serves the broader area here, right? So we started with one core business, and now we've created other businesses now that align to serve those businesses.
That's awesome. So I have a couple of questions we usually ask around the end of the podcast interview. And one of them is, what would be, knowing our audience, entrepreneurs, thought leaders, innovators, founders, people looking to share a message of positive influence via the internet in general, what would be the top three things you recommend they do that they can start doing right away that could come only from you? The second question is, somebody's listening to this thinking, yeah, I want to find out more about Live 100 and the kind of coaching or speaking that Jason does. How would they get a hold of you?
Perfect. Well, yeah, this has been a great conversation. So number one, I'd say these three things. One, you have to come up with your non-negotiables, right? Many times we're living someone else's non-negotiables, right? But we forget to say, like, what are my non-negotiables? What are the things that I put a line in the sand on? And it could be as simple as, you know, I make sure I hold the door for people. Or if there's escalators and stairs, I walk up the stairs, right? Those could be some things that you set in the stage that becomes you as the defining mark. Next, if you're out there, you know, you're hiring, make sure you're empowering people forward. You know, I learned early on that I was a, you know, a task giver, right? And so I'd give someone a task, but they wouldn't know the outcome. And so it wouldn't be a fulfilled thing because they would just do a task to get to a certain spot and then have to come back to me for the next task. The more success I've had, the more it's been me empowering the people around me to go out there to make good, positive decisions with the frame of reference of understanding what the goal was. And with that, I've gotten better outcomes because I sometimes was short-sighted in the availability of what could be done. They go out there and see it in a different way, which I hadn't thought to, and bring a better outcome, right? And then third, just understanding that, you know, what are we got 8,000 years. How long has this world been here? Like, we're here for a very small set of time. Right. A very, 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 very small time. Right. So for us to wait for another day is us really taking away from the universe what we could do today. So it's for you to go out there and take action right now, because we need whatever result you're going to make.
Love that.
And then you can reach me, of course, at Live 100. You can find me at the Live 100 podcast on all the major platforms with Jason Nyerussi. And you want to talk more about coaching, go to jasonnyerussi.com.
Fantastic. And to the listener, I'm going to link to all of this on the episode page on thoughtleadershipstudio.com, the link to which will be in the episode description. Jason, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, it's been a great conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, my friend.
Thought Leadership Studio.
Thanks again for listening to Thought Leadership Studio. I'm your host, Chris McNeil, strategic thought leadership coach and consultant, and author of the upcoming book, Strategic Thought Leadership. And you can find out more about that and get a free preview at strategicthoughtleadership.com. This has been episode 80, Self-Mastery in Business Success with Jason Nyerussi. harnessing the power of routines, mental clarity, and focus to elevate personal and professional growth, where we discussed subjects like navigating life's challenges, turning adversity into opportunity, self-mastery and business success, starting the day right, maximizing mental bandwidth, eliminating decision fatigue, and mastering the art of showing up. You can get more information on the Live 100 YouTube channel and program that Jason runs and all the services he offers at his website, which is linked to in the episode page on thoughtleadershipstudio.com, which if you're listening on an app, it's in the episode description. And on that page, you can also get access to his LinkedIn and other social media. And we are also offering a free download, which is the Marketer's Guide to Strategic Thought Leadership, a free PDF guide to assembling the building blocks of your own thought leadership. Again, I'm Chris McNeil. Thanks again for listening to Thought Leadership Studio, and look forward to seeing you on the next episode.
Thought Leadership Studio.